Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We are in Charlotte for All-Star Weekend. We were trying to wait for Nick Friedell to arrive, but he's having luggage issues. And I just can't wait any longer, to be honest with you, Andrew.
B, I'm here. I'm here, B.
Oh, Nick, oh my God, I can't believe it. Nick, I never knew you were Asian. That's amazing. That's Andrew Hahn. We have Dave McMenamin, who just flew in from Los Angeles. Flight was on time.
Made it.
As promised, as usual. And we have Tim Bontemps, who came in from Boston. Dave, you've been on a long road trip.
Yeah, I've been on the road. So they had a Warriors road game, came back for Super Bowl Sunday, then went on the road for a four-game trip. It was 11 days. One day back in L.A., and now embarking on 13 more days on the road.
Like, the Lakers don't get to play at home this month barely at all.
Yeah, it's a bad time. The schedule just gets tougher and tougher for them, and obviously they're trying to integrate new pieces. LeBron's trying to get back into shape. They're trying to deal with outside noise. They're kind of hanging by a thread right now.
How much do you think LeBron weighs right now?
More than I've seen him weigh in a while.
Tim, how much do you think LeBron weighs right now?
That was a question I did not expect to get asked on the podcast. I have no idea.
I'm going to set a line. Over under 275.
I honestly don't see him enough. I couldn't even guess. He looked Tim's a little bit. He looks bigger than I've seen him. But
that
I
sounds like
know.
An over from Tim.
I don't know.
I mean, like, it's not. I'm not saying like he's just. He got injured midway through the season. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do his normal workouts. Normally, he's able to build into like great shape, and you know how he likes Dave. He likes to sort of build throughout the season. He has like a methodology, mm-hmm. and you can just see it. And if you go back and like look, he like is one player of the month in March, like for the last 5 years, because he just starts going
right,
and he's just off. So. The word on the street is that LeBron's 280 right now.
Wow. That's more than I would expect, but...
I mean, he carries it. It jives. Well, right. You know, it's just, like, Scottie Pippen has criticized him...
For a lot of things.
Right. He criticized him today for...
mildly.
Not finishing, but you know, the other night in Atlanta... By the way, people really ripped the Lakers for that loss. And... It's disappointing, sure, but has anybody watched Atlanta for the last month? They're a good team. They're
Did you watch team. Atlanta today?
No, I didn't.
They lost to the Knicks?
Yeah.
Who hadn't won since the beginning of January? I know, but
I'm just saying, like, if you watched Atlanta, by the way, there was nobody at that game, man. I saw some crowd shots.
Brian, I will say that amongst our NBA insiders and editorial staff, there are a lot of people hot on the Hawks future, so... Is that.
Well, I'm hot on the Hawks' future, too, but if the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, they can't be losing games in the Hawks.
That's
well,
true.
All agree on
they,
that.
LeBron played 43 minutes the other
yeah.
night.
He played 43 minutes in that game?
He 43 minutes. He had a triple-double. He didn't shoot the ball real well. But, like, he's not in his normal condition. He'll get there. I have no doubt about that. But, like, it's I don't think it's fair to really judge him at all right now. On like
no
but to his normal standard.
Who's going to step up in the void while he's trying to get back into shape?
I mean,
and you don't
what's
have
he supposed
it.
To do?
No, I'm not putting it on him. I'm saying there needs to be someone in that locker room that if Rondo has been perhaps more vocal than LeBron has and more effective in getting through those guys than LeBron has this season, so maybe he has to delineate how this is going to go over these next couple weeks. While LeBron's trying to get back into shape, because if it doesn't happen, they're going to keep having efforts like this. And offensive is an easy thing to talk about, but defensively is the bigger problem. And if LeBron is playing 43 minutes, you're not going to be a good defensive team because you have a liability out there on the court at all times.
Right. Well, and I noticed I was at another game. I was at Celtics Sixers, but I noticed Rondo didn't start. Which I thought was interesting.
So like,
it's hard for him to be like stepping up like that if he's.
Two. I mean, he's still getting minutes, and he's still a clear part of the team in terms of like they're going to listen to him whether he's come off the bench or not.
Sure.
But I guess the thinking on that is you start Bullock, you get him going immediately, get him feel confident, and then when Ball is healthy, Bullock goes to the bench, and you tend to have Rondo off the bench anyway when, right. when Ball's healthy. So,
is there any update on Ball?
Nope. I mean, all right. he hasn't traveled with the team yet. He's rehabbing. As far as I know, he has not.
Bad ankle sprain.
Yeah, has not progressed to any basketball activity. That Rockets game now was...
Like a month ago?
Close to a month ago, yeah. I think like coming out of the break will be it.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be like a month coming out of the break, and I think 6 weeks was original. 6 to 8 weeks was the original timeline, they said. Is that right?
Yeah, about right. I think they said 4 to 6.
4 to 6.
Yeah.
So I guess we're in range. I mean, Luke kind of offhandedly said, you know, we'll have Lonzo back after the break, but he wasn't saying, like, we'll have him back the first game. We'll have him back sometime at this.
So today I spent all day long interviewing rising stars and three-point shooting guys here in Charlotte. Most of the guys arrived today. There's a few guys who are arriving tomorrow because there's still some games. Yes?
You're not going to talk about that, are you? That the interview part? Let's not talk about that because that'll be on the other one. So,
well, just hold on a second.
All right, okay.
Anyway, I talked to
anything for you, B.
I talked to four different Sacramento Kings today.
Okay.
Who did I talk to, Andrew? Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, Bogey Bogdanovich.
Yep. And who's the fourth?
De'Aaron Fox.
There we go.
The Kings are like super duper excited.
Because of Harrison Barnes.
Well, I don't know about that. Bogey was diplomatic about his potential role change.
Yeah.
He said, well, Andrew doesn't want me to talk about what he said. Okay. That's for later. So, but the Kings are like, for the first time in like a really long time, for some of them, their first time, well, all of them, their first time in their careers.
Right.
Like, they're playing like meaningful games after the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
They have a tough schedule. Like, coming out of the break, their schedule is, I think they got 3 or 4 really tough games.
Yeah, maybe right after the break, but then backloaded. They have, like, some Knicks and Bulls, and or I guess probably one Knicks, one Bulls, maybe a Cavs game. I think they have some easy, super winnable games in there.
They're, like, super-duper excited. Like, and they are...
A long time without the playoffs, Sacramento.
Young and
long
hungry.
Time.
Well, they just have to do the thing that young teams tend to do, right? Avoid the thing that young teams tend to do, which is blow easy games.
Right.
Right. That's so, like, they were all, like, really down about... They lost in Denver last night on a tip-in. They were, like, going over what happened there. They were, like, Jokic had an advantage because he knew where he was going to miss it. He knew where the ball was going to come off the rim. We didn't know. Like, they had, like, it all broken down. But, like, they're at the point where, like, a loss, like, is really meaningful. So, like, it's... I don't know how they're going to play down the stretch, but they're not talking about the Lakers. They're talking about, like, we're going after the Spurs at 7. You know? So, like, I don't know. I mean, I think that'll be, you know, and De'Aaron was, oh, I'm not allowed to say what he said. I'm sorry.
What is that? Just say it now.
I mean, he was like, we've got one of the best home courts in the league. And I was like, oh, really? But, like, they feel like they're, you know,
it's not spoken like someone who hasn't spent that much time in the
NBA.
That's
true.
But
hey, man, I'm just
saying. Kings fans are good fans.
Great fans, but right. Their old gym was much more conducive to having a home court environment than their new, expansive arena.
For sure. So, I don't know. We'll see. I still say the Lakers make it. I'm betting on LeBron. I'm betting he gets back into shape. I'm betting that he helps the Lakers win, go on like a six game win streak, and
that changes the conversation. He needs to turn the page mentally, though. I've spoken to people close to him that say that right now, physically, he's been cleared, and so clearly cleared. to be repetitive, but that's not an issue so much as the mental side of things. And right. He got a lob thrown to him the other night by Brandon Ingram in Philadelphia. It looked almost uncatchable. He ended up catching it. Usually, an uncatchable ball, he catches it and still throws it down, but he caught it on one side of the rim, on the right side, finished on the left side with the layup, and asked him about it. He said, well, that actually was a really good test for me, just even catching it. Still getting over hurdles like that. And then he needs to be engaged. I mean, his numbers were great against Atlanta, but we all know what an engaged LeBron looks like versus a guy who is somewhere else mentally.
Dave, tell us about this story that you got posted.
So the day before the Lakers played the Sixers, LeBron, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Rajon Rondo, Randy Mims and Rich Paul go down to Charlottesville, Virginia to take in Duke versus Virginia Cavaliers, the number two team in the country versus the number four team in the country. You know, got a private jet. LeBron told me the flight was about 35 minutes.
It was a G4.
Good detail.
Now, a G4 is nice, Dave. I mean, like...
You've been on one?
No, but I know.
Okay. Brian knows planes.
And I'm just saying that, like, normally on a short flight like that, you wouldn't necessarily have to go with a G4, but LeBron elected to go with a G4.
Yes. Well, he also elected to go with a fanny pack for the game.
How many fanny packs are coming off G4s on an average day in Charlottesville?
That's right. And so they got tickets through a Virginia contact. They're there. And obviously, it's Zion Williamson. As much as Duke being the number two team in the country, or Virginia being this great program under Tony Bennett, Zion Williamson, LeBron going to see him the same way Shaq went to see LeBron play in high school. Allen Iverson went to see LeBron play in high school. And the kind of twist here is that, both sports pundits said it, fans on Twitter, social media, et cetera, said that, this is obviously a recruiting trip by LeBron James. And LeBron took exception to it quite vociferously. One, pushing against the idea that he was recruiting, saying, I didn't even talk to him. I had no contact with Zion whatsoever. Two, saying, when you say stuff like that, it's a direct attack at Rich Paul, and saying that the only reason Rich Paul is getting these types of critiques hurled at him on a constant basis is because of his ascension in the sport. He's become a threat to everyone else. And he is a threat not only by his unconventional background, but because as a young African-American male, many of his competitors who are agents can't relate to potential clients the way he can. And that's why he feels like there is a constant stream of this kind of negativity over the operation of Clutch Sports and LeBron.
So what you also said, I'm just taking from your story, was that Rich, and you quoted Rich in the story as well.
I quoted Rich.
And by the way, like, I just want to point out, like, as someone who's had to write a lot of stories with sources, because it's just the nature of the beast, when you can get somebody on the record, they put their name to it, it means that they're really passionate about it and mm-hmm. they don't really care what the fallout might be. And so you got Rich on the record too. And one of the things that Rich said, I think Rich said this, maybe LeBron said it, but I think Rich said it, was that, look, nobody, flipped out when, like, Michael Jordan would play cards and help recruit Patrick Ewing for his agent, David mm-hmm. Falk.
Right.
When Tracy McGrady came into the league and Kobe Bryant befriended him, which we just saw Rachel Nichols yes. do an interview talking about their years hanging
yep.
out together.
Yep.
That nobody was like, oh my God, Kobe Bryant is recruiting for his agent, Arntell.
Mm-hmm.
And we could literally go on for hours. Like, it is basic, it is standard operating procedure.
Right. Kyrie Irving didn't recruit Jason Tatum for Jeff Wexler.
Right.
Saying that, right?
Right, right, right.
Sure.
Like, nobody is saying, oh my God, Kyrie Irving.
Right.
So, like, you may not like how Rich Paul handles business. You may not like what he did with Anthony Davis. And certainly, I think, I don't know if Rich would admit this now, but I think in time Rich will admit that this did not play out the way he thought. You can criticize his tactics, but even if it was a recruiting mission, by the way, was not Jay-Z at that game as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does not Jay-Z own a representation
sure.
agency?
Rock Nation.
Let's just be real here.
Right.
I mean, Tim, what do you think about this?
I think I certainly get where Rich and LeBron are coming from. I mean, me and Dave talked about this the other day. So, like, I get where they're coming from. At the same time, I think if you're in the position they're in and you guys are, like, lifelong friends and you start a, business together where you have a player in LeBron who's, like, basically the face of a agency, which is something we haven't had in the league before, and you have LeBron in L.A., which only adds to this now because you have people, thinking that, the league is trying to steer guys from places like New Orleans to Los Angeles, which, like, only breeds more insecurity and panic from these small market teams that all these players are going to leave these teams, and like they have no chance to win. I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard the same things the last couple of weeks. I heard from a lot of people who work for small market teams saying, "Oh man, how are we going to win? How are we going to compete anymore? You know, all these guys just want to go play in big cities."
The Knicks will be okay.
The Knicks will be okay. So I think obviously some of this just is born out of jealousy that people like look at it and are frustrated. But I think also, like, you know, to say that Rich is like David Falk with Michael Jordan, I think is also, you know, I get
false parallel.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Rich Paul and LeBron have a very unique and special relationship, which is a pretty cool thing. And it's like, it's neat to see what they've done. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think we can say that this is a normal player agent relationship.
Well, either. The argument is that LeBron, you know, quote unquote, owns part of Clutch Sports.
Right.
And I agree that the arrangement is unusual. Now, the NBA has done an investigation and determined that he doesn't own it, but I don't know what that investigation
sure.
is.
I have a question here, because the NBA, like all major sports, is a copycat league. LeBron is the de facto best player in the game today, possibly the best player of all time. There are other players that are incredibly gifted, best players in the league, best players at their respective positions, whatever it is. I'm sure they also have highly intelligent, capable friends in their inner circle as well. Why has no one else tried to emulate this model?
One, I would say this is still a relatively new model. I mean, Rich started representing LeBron in 2012. We're talking about only in the last couple of years did he start to acquire high-profile clients and outside of LeBron, and, you know, and Ben Simmons and John Wall and Anthony Davis. And so perhaps, like, you know, this is the tip of the iceberg, and we'll see. I mean, Tim, when you said it's not the normal situation, well, yeah, of course, it's completely different.
Right.
And I think their positioning is that because it's different, it is getting criticism because people recognize that the power structure that's been in place for so long in the sport of basketball, particularly in the NBA, they're challenging it.
Sure.
And people are bucking against it, not because these guys are doing anything wrong, but because they're realizing, like, if the paradigm changes, we're going to be behind the eight ball.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I just think if you're in the position they're in, you probably just have to live with it.
And by the way, Clutch, you know, Sports signed a new client today.
Who's that?
Darius Garland from Vanderbilt.
Which is a really good, he's going to be probably a top 10 pick.
Who basically is too injured to compete, so he withdrew from Vanderbilt and he signed with Clutch today.
Interesting.
I mean,
he's probably the best point guard prospect in the draft. Probably a top 10 pick.
You know, so.
Better than Morant?
Oh no! Okay, second behind him. Okay. I wasn't thinking about him. Okay. Yeah, but he's a top 10. He's a top 10 pick for sure.
I don't know that much about him. I don't know much about.
Andy doesn't like college basketball. He doesn't like when I talk about it.
I'll wait until they get to the pros.
I just know he's going to be a lottery pick. Like I think we texted about it earlier. That was a good signing for those guys.
You were saying, Brian?
Yeah. All right. So meanwhile, Rich Paul was actually in New Orleans tonight, and Anthony Davis hurt his shoulder, and Rich left with Anthony mid-game to go get an MRI, which revealed a muscle contusion. He's questionable for All-Star Weekend. Maybe we'll have more information by the time this podcast comes out. Alvin Gentry had a great win. They beat Oklahoma City tonight.
Oh, good
win. Oklahoma City had won 9 out of 10 without Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, I think, scored 2 points.
Played the first half.
Left during the first half. Supposedly, I saw on Twitter, left before the game ended?
No, he definitely left.
To get an MRI.
Literally what Brian just said.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to cut that.
But what are we doing here, guys? I mean, like,
waiting for Fredo.
That's true. But, I mean, what are we, like, Gentry was like, this is a dumpster fire. He said, this has been a dumpster fire.
Yep.
That was his quote.
Amazing quote.
He said, I have no idea whether Anthony left the arena. Nobody told me, which he did.
He's just going to talk about the guys that played, that finished the game.
Alvin Gentry, one of the nicest guys in the league, literally stormed off from his media interview, which I don't think is, I could never imagine that was going to happen.
He complained about the officiating last year. Was it earlier this year or last year? And he got fined. He had like an outburst.
To play devil's advocate, the Pelicans could have avoided press conferences like that, situations like that, leading up to February 7th.
By trading him?
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't make a bad trade just to make safe PR.
Well, that this is more than PR, though, wouldn't you say? This is
affecting
the culture of the team. Obviously,
it's screwed by the way the league was set up, though. Because like, if they could have made a trade with Boston before the seventh, they would have made the trade with Boston.
Yeah, but they could forget about the trade market. They should just bench him.
Well, this you know, this goes back to your story the other day. I mean, right. It's just an untenable situation.
Right, and like, and by the way, Anthony Davis bumped his shoulder tonight. Was concerned enough about it that he immediately went to get an MRI because he's worried about injury.
Yep.
And he's not being himself.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, and they're also playing him like weird. They're like weirdly not playing like, in fourth quarters. I mean, so the whole thing is a mess.
He's playing against Steven Adams tonight.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Steven Adams can do some damage.
Yeah, that's the mountain of a man.
So, I don't know, like, is he going in to play Steven Adams the same way he always does? So he's...
How could he be invested the same way he always has been? Could he be?
Right.
Alvin said it perfectly. The whole thing's a dumpster fire.
Right. So, like, the league has egg on its face because basically they got caught not playing it while the rules were the same.
They got caught trying to make him play.
Which... You know, like, let's just be honest. In life, not everybody plays by the same rules. There's different rules for different people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the league kind of looked bad.
You're the DoubleTree. Just kidding.
Yes, I am.
If you got to cut that because we don't want people to know what he's saying. Sorry.
Yes. There's no winner.
No, there's no winners at all.
And
except for the Pelicans' lottery odds, they're going to keep going up. Which is going to lead to the Pelicans winning the lottery, which is just the inevitable outcome.
That would be amazing.
Just has to happen.
Yeah, the league, yes, Andrew.
I was just going to say, this all makes sense if come July, the Celtics trade for Anthony Davis and New Orleans gets everything that they wanted, then sure, it was all worth it. But if they don't do the deal with Boston, or they get a package that is not everything they wanted, this looks terrible.
Correct.
Speaking of packages that give you everything you want.
Are we doing an ad read?
No, we're not.
Oh.
You know, this kind of got lost in the Anthony Davis situation, but I've been thinking.
We're going all over the place.
It is Valentine's Day.
I've been thinking about this. You're right. Not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It was hard to get a dinner reservation tonight.
Ooh.
In Charlotte. Because, you know.
You know some people here.
I do.
Oh, wait a second. Before you continue, Brian, we have to pause for commercials on some platforms. So while we do that, can you tell us about that dinner reservation that you ended up getting?
And he left with a 3-quarter bottle full of wine.
Dave.
What? We're back. So let's get back to can we get back to packages, please?
Yeah. Nick Friedell just arrived from the airport. He flew in from Portland. And Tim Bontemps, what happened when he walked in the room?
T and Dave McMenamin had a big exchange because they're wearing the exact same Syracuse outfits.
Exact same.
Not outfits.
Whatever. Please. Shirts.
As we should be. I know. I speak for my man McTen and I. By saying that we wear these with pride, and everywhere you go with this thing, no matter where you are in the country, somebody says something. It is true. Everywhere I go.
That's a great...
This is college hoops talk. We're not...
It's a great traveling garment, also.
It's just university pride. College hoops
disguised from the world.
It's good for traveling.
So, I was thinking about this, and I don't think this has been fairly discussed. When a team trades a star player, what do they always... Three things they always want. What do they want?
Cap relief, draft picks, and young players.
What did the New York Knicks get when they traded Kristaps Porzingis?
Cap relief, draft picks, and young
players. They got all three.
It's a pretty good trade.
I don't feel like because we were in the trade deadline, because we were all focused on Anthony Davis, a lot of people in New York were upset that Porzingis got traded. I thought it was a pretty damn good trade.
No argument for me.
Regardless of what happens in July?
Well, yeah.
I'm with you. No argument for
they,
me.
No one
wears a jersey that says cap space on it. No one wears a jersey that says draft pick on it. People love Porzingis in New York.
They wear a jersey that says Dennis Smith Jr. on it, though.
Come on.
If you miss out in July, I don't like that deal.
They got
exactly.
They got an awful lot for a guy who is 7'3", who's had a bunch of leg injuries and has a blown out knee right now.
I was just about to say, maybe this is the nicest thing they could have done for Porzingis. Let him leave town before they turn him into a villain.
Well, so that sounds like a ringing endorsement for Kevin Durant to go join the Knicks organization.
Well, look. But see, here's the thing. If they don't get a free agent this summer because of this trade, they don't. It's no big deal. They've set themselves up.
Wait a second. I'm gonna go in between. If they go this summer and they spend like all their money on like Mozgov, Biombo, Luol Deng type contracts, whatever, name the terrible contracts of 2016, Joakim Noah like they did then, yeah, then it's going to be bad. You know, if they like prudently spend their money, if they don't get stars, it's one thing. If they just blow it on terrible players, they're going to be it's going to be a disaster.
I've let this marinate for 2 weeks.
They had a star in a cap control situation, contracts.
I've let this marinate for 2 weeks. I think it was a great trade.
I forgot he was cap control. I'm back with Dave again.
Talk to me in July. I mean, if they get the guys they're after, of course I'm 100% behind the deal. It's similar to the Lakers, the deal they had with Cleveland last year where they gave their bad contracts to the Cavs in order to get space to sign LeBron. It's amazing. But until I see Kevin Durant wearing number 35 in purple and orange, or purple, in blue and orange, I can't get behind it.
Does anybody in this room right now believe that the Knicks know something already?
I think the Knicks know what we know, which is that it seems likely that Kevin Durant's going to play for the Knicks, and that Kevin Durant's people are going around saying Kevin Durant's going to play for the Knicks.
I don't know about that. Kevin Durant changed his mind. He's going to
What I was going to say. I don't think anybody saying right now they know exactly what's going to happen July 1st, I think, is deluding themselves.
Yeah, let the record show. I've been around Kevin every day for 4 months, and I do not believe that he has made any kind of decision in this moment.
Even if he has made up his mind, I don't believe that that mind is permanently made up.
No.
Based on the way
he... I mean, he could grow up between now and July 1st, you know?
Wow.
You just grow up. As you get older, you grow up day by day, month by month.
Wow. Shots fired. All right, let's get back to the trade for a second. Let's go back to that. Because I think there's two... To me, it's two arguments. We'll let that marinate for a second. I think there's two arguments. The one is on the trade itself. I think on the merits, the Knicks got a hell of a lot for a guy who has a blown-out knee. They gave up a ton of bad money. They got 3 picks. They got Dennis Smith. They got a ton of stuff. So, like, I think in a vacuum, I think the trade is good. To your guys' point, if this summer they get Kevin Durant and Kyrie or whoever, right, then it's like grand slam, home run, whatever. If they don't, then it's, all right, well, what do they do with the money? Like, if they spend it stupidly, people in New York aren't going to care. They're going to go, this was the dumbest trade of all time. And if they do what the Clippers did, say, or some of these other teams, where they kind of, like, you know, use it to get some assets, maybe trade for guys, whatever, like, there's ways that it can work out okay if they don't get those guys.
But you sound like someone who has no belief that Kristaps Porzingis will be a perennial top 10 player in this league.
I don't know for sure what he's going to be. I mean, to me, the most interesting part about that trade was the Knicks clearly were like, Kristaps is not a max guy because they traded him, right? And like, for all their arguments about he doesn't want to be here, if he wanted to be there, and they told me the same thing because I was there right after that trade. Oh, well, you know, he didn't want to be here. I was like, listen, guys, if you thought Kristaps was a max player, you would have signed him.
There's the key.
Right.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. And that, to me, the most fascinating part about that trade is they didn't think he was a max player. And the Mavs viewed him as like a top 10 player in the league. Because you look at what the Mavs gave up for him. You know, Dennis Smith Jr., good young player, two first-round picks, one completely unprotected, took on a ton of bad money that nobody wanted. You know, I had a couple of GMs thought it would take 3 first-round picks to give up those guys. That's a lot.
This is one of those situations where it's contextualized by the people involved, right? If it was San Antonio trading Porzingis away to the Knicks, for example, everyone would say, like, oh, the Spurs knew what's up. Like, they know he's not a top 10 right. player. And the Knicks got duped again.
Right.
And Dallas, in recent history, has been more analytically advanced. They're more on the cutting edge. And because the Knicks have a recent history, oh, I guess a longer history, of just being mired in incompetency,
right.
It looks bad.
That's a good point.
Well, listen, it might end up being a disaster. I mean, look, like you guys said, I mean, if they go out and sign terrible contracts this summer, then they're, like, right back where they were before the trade, and they don't have Porzingis. So
I'm also trying to speak for the fan. Like, come on. Because if you're a Knicks fan, long-suffering Knicks fan, unless
there isn't
they,
any other kind.
Right. Unless they button it up this summer.
I know many of them in New York. That's all
exists. Unless they button it up this summer, we can applaud to the heavens till the cows come home that, oh, wow, great job, Steve Mills. But guess what? That doesn't satisfy a fan. So, come on.
So, speaking of the Knicks in Syracuse, Chris Paul threw, I think it was Chris Paul. I don't want to say for sure, but I think Chris Paul threw a dinner in Dwayne Wade's honor tonight.
That would make sense. He's the Carolina guy.
It's unfortunate Chris Paul's not taking part in this All-Star game.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I mean, if he was healthy the whole year, I don't know. It would have been tough even. He would have had to have played great.
He was not playing well enough to be an All-Star before he got hurt.
Yeah. So
how far away are we from Chris Paul does not become Chris Paul anymore? He just becomes Chris Paul's contract.
Oh, we might not be that far away.
We're not that far.
There are people who were ripping that contract the day it was signed. Yeah. But yeah. Chris Paul is a serious competitor. Let's see how it all plays out. So he threw a big party, I think, for Melo tonight. For Dwayne Wade to celebrate his. Melo was there, and Melo gave a speech, and it's on Twitter. And this speech kind of was remarkable because what Melo was saying was, "I'm so glad you came back. You told me last summer," he was talking about a dinner that he had with Dwayne Wade, and he said, "You told me last summer you didn't want to play again, and I didn't think that was right. I thought you needed one last time, and you should be cheered by all these fans, one last trip around the league." And it was a really kind of emotional speech. Carmelo was, you can tell in the way he was speaking, that he was just really speaking from the heart. And it made me like, man, Melo's kind of talking about himself there. It was kind of, I mean, it was a beautiful speech. Sure. You can find it on Twitter. Dwayne was sitting in like a throne. Yeah. They had like this
regal
gold,
yes,
seat. And I was like, man, that makes me feel bad for Melo. I don't know, because I don't know if it's going to happen, guys.
He's probably been thinking over the last 3 months, will it or will it not happen? And he probably, as fewer and fewer phone calls came in than he expected, he was like, what is this going to be taken away from me? So perhaps he has the resolve to be like, no, I need one more year. He would be celebrated, not to the extent that Dwayne Wade, him being a champion.
But Melo is a very popular player.
Absolutely.
This is probably blasphemous as a Bonaventure guy to ruin two Syracuse guys, but I feel bad for Melo, honestly. Like, it was only a year and a half ago that this guy was still a 20-point scorer in the league and was like a, you know, good player. You know, he wasn't, maybe wasn't like MVP level Melo, but he was still a good player.
And a veteran minimum contract, he's a good player. I still believe
it. Well, regardless, whether you get into that or not, it's just like,
in terms of value,
the way things have like just gone completely south for this guy over the last 18 months to the point where like I don't think he's going to get another contract. I don't think he's going to get a chance to do like get that kind of celebration for a guy who is going to be a Hall of Fame player. And like, look, you can say what you want about Carmelo's career in terms of like whether how much he won or what he did, but like I always enjoy my interaction with the guy. I always thought he was a stand-up guy. Like, as somebody who's in New York for a long time, like, he dealt with everything that comes with being in New York as well as anybody ever has. And it's just a shame that, like you hear him talking, like, you just played it before. Like, you can hear him thinking, like, man, it would be nice to have, like, something like that.
Right.
And he's just, like, done.
His best teammate, I mean, I'm not going to include OKC because he wasn't who he was. But his best teammate in his prime was a post-prime Chauncey Billups. And yet he gets judged for not winning. He made the playoffs, I think, the first 6 or 7 years of his career in the Western Conference, which was tough, in Denver. And, you know, we saw guys like, you know, Kevin Love leading the Minnesota Timberwolves by himself for 6 years, doesn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, real shot in 09, too.
Like, he had a competitive group as the best player for a long time, and he didn't have, you know, Chauncey, post-prime Chauncey Billups, post-prime Marcus Camby, Birdman, and Dante Jones and J.R. Smith were his best teammates. And he gets to the Western Conference Finals with that team. That's an accomplishment.
Wasn't the knock on him that if he was, how do I phrase this delicately, a more manageable personality than that
no,
team
No, I don't think that. I mean, I think the bigger knock on Carmelo is that, like, he could have had been in the same opt-out year with LeBron and Wade, but he wanted to get
right.
He always got all his money.
He always got all his money.
He compounded that decision.
Right. By going to the Knicks by and not just sure he got the money then.
Post-prime Iverson, I'll throw that in there, too. Respect to who, you know, LeBron James has compared the end of Melo to what we've seen at Iverson at the end.
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Andrew, what's harder than getting around Charlotte during All-Star Weekend?
I don't know, Brian. What's harder than that?
What's harder than dealing with the 46 construction zones that are in this downtown, which they don't call downtown, they call Uptown Charlotte, blocking the entire entrance to your hotel so that no Uber driver who is not an expert can find his way to the front of your building? What's more challenging than that?
Brian, is this an ad read or is this a quiz? What's going on here?
What's more challenging than being able to get into places when they can only drop you off 3 to 4 blocks away, which I know are for safety, but is not adequately handled by the fine traffic operators in the city?
I don't know, Brian. What?
Hiring qualified candidates. It takes a long time, too many applicants, and that's why ZipRecruiter makes everything easy. Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process, but today hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/collective. That's our personal site, Andrew, for all of our fine listeners. ZipRecruiter.com/collective.
Got it.
Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. Do you know what it is, Andrew?
Is it ZipRecruiter.com/collective?
Yes. Do you know how to spell collective? C-O-L-L-E-C-T-I-V-E. For everyone out there, in case they didn't know. ZipRecruiter.com/collective. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
There are a lot of questions in this ad read. It's okay. Wasn't ready for that. Brian, can I introduce a new game for tonight?
Oh boy. It's getting late.
We're gonna call this one Old Take, New Take. Old Take. Mr. Bontemps.
Yeah.
You had a take before the season started.
Okay.
Would you like to share that? Now,
you know, I have lots of takes. I don't know which one we're talking about.
This is not one take.
I believe you said that the Lakers would not make the playoffs.
I did write a column that said the Lakers would miss the playoffs, yes.
And they are currently in 10th place?
Yeah.
Correct. 2.5 games out.
Mr. McMenamin, you have the floor.
Well, that's not... I mean...
I was glad. I'm glad I didn't miss this conversation. The whole time in the cab, I'm going, please.
We actually talked about the Lakers at the start. That didn't come up.
We could argue the merits of pursuing a column before the season starts, before you know what type of trades are going to happen, before you know what type of injuries are going to happen to decide whether teams are going to make the playoffs or not. But I'm not going to do that. What I'd like to talk about is a more specific take he's had since then, is that Kyle Kuzma cannot shoot. Tim Bontemps. You and I, about the 8th row at the TD Garden in the Media Center, sitting next to one another. Kyle Kuzma goes, I think, 5 for 8 from 3, including...
I was more excited about Kyle Kuzma's shots.
Including a huge 3 to, you know, that preceded the game winner by Rajon Rondo, but that was necessary in the moment to give the Lakers a chance to win. Look, I mean, elbows in. There's balance when he shoots. A beautiful follow through, gooseneck. And yet, you watch that guy play, and you said he can't shoot. I mean, it's egregious. Like, how can we be respected by the people we cover? We say things like, this player cannot shoot. That's like someone saying to you, like, you cannot write. Like, come on, I'm never going to listen to anything you say again. Of course you can write. You would not be at this stage of your career if you could not write. Kyle Kuzma can shoot. If you can't admit that, then we need to, like, figure things out.
Kyle Kuzma's last 3 games is 13 for 27 from 3.
Yeah.
Shot really well.
It's pretty good.
The prior 12 games before that, he's 24 for 79.
Yeah.
And for the season,
he had a hurt hip. What happens when you have a
for the season,
best of fingers? You type every word
for
right?
For the season, he's shooting 31.9%. So when I said he can't shoot on the podcast, obviously he can't shoot. Markelle Fultz can't shoot. Kyle Kuzma can't shoot. What I was saying on the podcast and what I was trying to say in an offhanded way was that he's not a reliable three-point shooter. He's not a good three-point shooter by the numbers.
Yeah, but I mean...
Now, Tobias Harris, who we watch play, right?
Nice
player. At one point in his career was like a 30% three-point shooter,
right.
I think, right? Now he's shooting like 44%. So, down the... Like, Kyle Kuzma clearly can score. Like, down the road, does he become a three-point shooter who's like a reliable three-point shooter? Sure. I could see that. But like right now, I would look at him shooting, and go, that guy's a reliable three-point shooter.
He's actually shooting about 5%. Worse up from three than
last year.
Which is a bit of a surprise. As you mentioned, Dave, there have been injuries. The team's kind of been a mess with in and out with point guards.
John Rondo's missed 34 games. LeBron's missed 18. Kuzma himself has dealt with injuries. And then this season has been a learning curve, obviously, for everyone who's young in that locker room. But if you just watch the mechanics of the shot, you know he can shoot.
Okay. Well, you're very hung up on the phrasing. If I said,
well, dismissive phrasing.
If I had said he is a streaky and unreliable 3-point shooter, would you agree with that?
Streaky, I would agree with.
Okay.
Unreliable. I've seen him hit huge shots in several situations.
But I mean, by the numbers. The numbers is he's an unreliable 3-point shooter, right?
That's why, come on, the numbers.
But you know what?
Don't...
But to be honest with you,
that's what I was trying to say.
I think you guys are both right on both points.
Sure.
Because at the start of the season, you had no idea that Ingram was going to get suspended, and Ingram was going to get hurt, and Rondo was going to get hurt, and LeBron was going to get hurt, and Lonzo was going to get hurt, and you know they were going to be below 500 at the All-Star break. All those circumstances came to bear. However, and that, you know, it's why saying that, you know, that their record doesn't represent their true team. But at the same time, when they've played, you can see that they have flaws.
Would it be fair
to
say?
When it comes
to
Kuzma, I think Kuzma his shooting is very much like the Lakers. It's a personification of the Lakers team. Which comes to the heart of the two issues that you guys are talking about. There are nights,
right,
when Kuzma is awesome and carries the team and his three-pointers save them, just that there are nights when the Lakers look great, like when they win at Golden State, when they win at Oklahoma City, when they win at Boston. And there are other nights...
Kuzma was great in all those games.
There are other nights when Kuzma can't hit a shot, and the Lakers look terrible, and they lose games that they have no business losing, to the Knicks at home and to the Cavs at home. And that's the Lakers. I don't know if they'll change in the last 25 games, 27 games, whatever it is, but I don't think either of you are necessarily wrong.
I don't dismiss your thought that the Lakers are in a world of trouble making the playoffs. At this
do you
point,
think they're
going
to make the playoffs?
At this point, though.
Do you think
I don't
now?
Know. If guys stay healthy, I think they make it, because I've seen LeBron James just
carry
win.
Teams.
Yeah.
Right.
Schedule's
brutal, though.
I agree with you. But until I see it not happen, why would I choose against it?
Sure.
But it's saying they're not going to make the playoffs with 25 games left to go is a lot different than saying it 57 games ago, because the evidence we had going into the season did not include all these variables. And so it wasn't like your column said, hey, if Rondo misses half the season, LeBron has the worst injury of his career, they're going to miss the playoffs.
I don't really want to relitigate that, but I don't think that's exactly fair either. But.
I mean, we're just having, honestly, it's just been a fun topic all year.
Sure.
But in all honesty, the Lakers, the crux of the Lakers season now is, can they get the eighth seed?
And get blown out by the Warriors.
Well, I mean, so I'm saying, that's the argument that the Lakers are having now.
To me, the most interesting thing about
that's
this
not
whole
ideal
thing is in that piece, I said I thought they'd win 45 to 47 games. To me, what's almost more interesting is that I think the Lakers, they've had some injuries, but they've largely been kind of what at least I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Is that the rest of the West isn't very good. Golden State's obviously up here, but we were at the Denver Philly game.
Right, right.
If they play Denver in the first round of the playoffs. We were saying, who's going to pick LeBron to lose to the Nuggets?
Right.
Nobody.
It is interesting that the current 10th seed in the West could be the second best team in the West. It's totally reasonable to have that feeling.
Yeah.
New take. Mr. Bontemps, I hope you're still plugged in.
I mean, I'm that's what I'm here for. I'm here to get attacked by Syracuse guys.
I did not attack.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm kidding.
Andrew just totally stirred the pot. It was a nice evening.
That's what he lives
Me and Dave
for.
Are good.
I've noticed honestly. That Mr. Ferdell has been tagging you on
certain
lineups.
He's all wound up.
The Fantastic Five! I want you to know that when the Fantastic Five appeared... Yeah. On my Twitter screen.
With a PH.
With a PH.
By the way, that was Kurt Goldsberry's idea, by the way. His insistence on the PH.
And I will say this. I will own that I like it.
But, you flip-flopped already on this.
No, I never said I
didn't. No, like you it. Didn't. There was no sort of tongue-in-cheek
tweet. It was
tweet.
A fly that you didn't like.
He attempted publicly to say he didn't like it.
Yeah, you distanced yourself in a tweet.
But privately, he was a huge fan before it came out.
I put a tweet that said, Fantastic Five, !! That's distancing myself from it?
Yes. Brian, can you explain what the Fantastic Five is?
It's Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons.
Which is...
Fantastic Five.
Which is?
Philly starting line.
There you go. I was just giving you
the people it's now. It's whimsical and silly. I liked it. I'm not saying that they have to put it on t-shirts, but it wouldn't surprise me if somebody would.
I'm sitting in the Warriors press room. I think I was in Oakland. I'm not sure. Everything's starting to blur together at this point in the year. And Mr. Bontemps, I just want you to know that your tweet was seen by all of our friends,
yeah.
And everybody had a reaction to it. And as a writer, that's the key, usually. Hey,
that's right.
You get some kind of reaction from it. Oh, my gosh.
I was going back and forth with Kurt Goldsberry the whole game. We were trying to come up with something.
The Fantastic Five. Now, on its basis... I couldn't even handle the nickname. Like, the nickname is what it is. The part that got me was... This is arguably as good as any starting five in the league. As I'm sitting there watching Steph Curry, Hall of Famer. Kevin Durant, Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Klay Thompson, Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Draymond and DeMarcus, potentially Hall of Famer.
Isn't it true that that lineup is like...
Well, DeMarcus, settle down with DeMarcus, that's Hall of Famer. Settle down with that.
There you go. I agree.
Come on.
Me and Bontemps are going to beat you up, Nick, for that comment. Come on.
Wait.
DeMarcus Cousins, Hall of Famer?
He's on a track. But if he stays healthy and keeps putting up these numbers...
Friedel, that's an absurd take.
Nick, this is where Bontemps has a point, I think. Bontemps said starting five... And the Warriors starting five, while good, that's not the lineup they close with. That's not their death lineup. That's none of that stuff. So
it's also
what
not
exactly
that,
you are
that also, raises, but that raises.
We're also
different.
Talking about DeMarcus Cousins post Achilles tendon surgery.
Right.
He's not
and,
nearly
well,
the same player.
That's why potentially there was no. There are three Hall of Famers right now on that team for sure.
I don't think Tim's trying to suggest that it's the best lineup in terms of where they will be considered all time. It's right now this
in
year.
Now.
You put five guys on the court at one
they
time.
They have five borderline. They have five guys who are at minimum considered to make the All-Star team this year, starting on their team.
And that's all.
And they fit perfectly together.
And that's all. Well, do we know that yet?
I'm just saying when you look together? I'm saying when you look at their games together, like the pieces
I'm not,
make
see,
sense.
Now here's the severe difference that you and I have.
Okay.
You love the way that lineup looks, and I still don't think those pieces fit together the way they need to. I think that.
Well, I mean,
we're
only a few games in, so
exactly, and that's the whole key.
Sure.
We're going to find out in the next few months where they land. But as far as the Warriors, I mean, like you watch them, and you. I think I've watched so much bad Bulls basketball over the years. And bad Timberwolves basketball.
I just remember seeing you back in October.
And
you were walking around with a smile
Bucks
on your face
basketball.
All the time.
Right. That I'm sitting there watching the Warriors every night and I'm going, oh my God. They really are this good.
They're really good. Here's what I would say. I think Philly starting five is better than anybody but Golden State's in the league by a lot. Because Golden State was way ahead. And I think you can at least argue. You can argue that Philly's in the same ballpark, which, regardless of everything else, I think is a testament to how good
well,
those
what
guys
are. We
are.
See, what
no,
are we
but,
judging this on, though?
Well, no, but here,
I don't think they are in the same
ballpark.
Well, no,
ballpark. But here's what I was going to... Okay, but listen. Set that aside. The difference is Golden State has Andre Iguodala and Charlotte Livingston.
Potential Hall of Famer, Andre Iguodala.
Enough with the potential Hall of Famers.
We don't think so? We don't think he's got a chance?
I'm just skipping past that. They let a lot of guys into the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Sure, he could make the Hall of Fame. I'm just skipping past that. The point is, they have a good bench, and Philly's bench is terrible. And that's like the massive difference. Like, yeah, their starting five is really good.
I just said I like the other guys are terrible. Five. I like it. What do you want me to? What do you want me to say? I like it.
That's why we know it's getting.
You played both sides.
With that. We know it's getting.
He did.
If you put if I put a tweet out with exclamation points and question marks, that's playing both sides?
Yes.
I took that to mean, oh my God, what the hell are you thinking?
I was like, wow, look at this. This, like, I don't, it's, what is this? Wow, what is this?
Wait, can we do it? I have a game to play then. How about we all, in the moment, try to come up with a better name? And you got to do it now. And I have a bad replacement, but I admit it's bad, but.
I haven't thought about it. What
so
do you got?
There used to be the Grit Squad in Memphis. Flyers' new mascot, Gritty Squad. Boom. What do you got?
Where's the Flyers' mascot when you need him? Are you not that one?
But they're not really. Are they gritty?
No, it's just like it's a Philly reference. Is the gritty?
I mean,
Mick
10 is the Philly guy. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of Philly references to go off of. So
yeah, what I mean, give me something. What do you got?
All right, we have to wrap in just because it's getting too long.
Which will be a cliffhanger for people for later.
Thank you for listening.
Question mark, exclamation mark.
That's right. Several.
I mean, maybe I don't have the proper term. I mean, I just was like, look at this. This is crazy.
I mean, that's a look at this is look at this look is at a this. Fair way to look at it.
Yeah. Andrew says wrapping it up. And thank you for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. Andrew, thank you for stirring the pot. Everything was going along just fine, and now might have to
what
break
everything went fine.
As soon as this goes off. Thank you very much. Tim Bontemps, Nick Friedel, Dave McMenamin, and we'll talk to you soon.